home. Kaya Biz. Right now. Right now. 086-000-959. Call now. On the street. On the air.
It's 27 minutes past 7. You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. We talk conservation, we talk biodiversity now, and that is to the Sanparks Board Chairperson, Pam Miyako. This says, earlier on, the Deputy Minister of Forestry, Fisheries and Environmental Affairs, Mr. Narendra Singh, held the launch of the South African National Parks as Vision 2040. He says Vision 2040 is not merely about strengthening our conservation efforts, which we must do. It is also about how we use the unique mega diversity of this beautiful country and how it can contribute meaningfully to the improvement of people's lives and engender social cohesiveness. Pam Iago is Sanparks' board chairperson and joins us now to talk to us about this exciting venture. Very good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, and thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this. It's an ambitious initiative. Obviously, I was with you at the launch earlier on, and one of the things that really stuck out and I saw in the reports that are out there is this whole notion of how you are going to make sure that there is a stronger socioeconomic emphasis on conservation in rethinking your model.
Thank you very much. It is ambitious, I would like to think. And as they say, the more ambitious things are, the more driven we can be in trying to reach them. So I think as a country and as a nation, we've come a long way. We're one of the leading conservation agencies as Sanparks in the world, dare I say. However, at the same time, the way we've implemented conservation has not always been inclusive. Our people have not always identified with it, nor have they benefited from it. So the change in approach now is strengthen our conservation efforts because we are a mega diverse country. But let's also look at bringing people on board such that they own, they participate, and they're part of conservation, not for conservation's sake, because it is the right thing to do for South Africans and communities and also other groups that might be historically been left out of the process.
Mm. Tell us a little bit more, Pam, about this business model and how it hopes to engender fair access to opportunities and resources to ensure that conservation is a catalyst for growth and prosperity.
Thanks. Firstly, in the past, we've always, we have had a land acquisition program, which was about us identify land, oftentimes in the private sector at market prices, and then use the land for conservation. And we've done that quite well. We've identified where we need to grow. We've identified where areas where we need to grow, not because we just want to grow for the sake of it, but because we're protecting certain species. So what is different now is that, there's a recognition that we can't do it alone. So we need to work, if you like, with, and I like to call it being neighborly in our approach. So it's looking at our neighbors and look at ways of collaborating. And our neighbors could be the private reserves and some of the innovative work that they do, but it's also communities who have been historically excluded, who have a deep history with conservation in various ways. How do we get them to be empowered and to, in some cases, start managing or either co-managing or being assisted in managing their own conservation areas using the skills that we've developed in the past.
Mm. So I'd imagine within that you are looking at things like green businesses to help generate income while using this to conserve natural resources.
Of course. I mean, part of the journey is looking at ourselves, because we've also taken, and I'm happy that you raised that point, because we're a conservation agency, we think we've ticked the box in terms of how green we are. We also need to look at how do we measure our carbon footprint. How do we make sure that we don't only look after the species or the animals or the plants that we have in our national parks, but how do we make sure that even when we do tourism, we do it in a way that takes into account that there's climate change? So what is our environmental footprint, and how does that contribute or move us away from other global targets, whether it's a net zero in terms of climate change or in terms of nature positive way, in terms of what happens in the biodiversity space?
Now, some of what you are being guided by are various protocols or agreements to which you are signatory, as you mentioned earlier, on 30 by 30. Just explain some of the concept for us, because if you're talking development, we have seen in the space that, you know, government would say it's for the good of the people, activists would say it's bad for the environment, but at the end of the day, as you say, you're operating in some very disenfranchised and disadvantaged communities as well.
Yes, I think in many ways there can't be something that is good for the environment but bad for the people. It's how do we find that middle road where we can have a what we call in Vision 2040 a harmonious relationship between people and nature, right? And in that harmonious relationship is recognizing that there are environmental practices that we must all be embarking on in order to save our planet and save nature. I mean, we can talk about climate change. We know about extreme weather events. Who would have thought that last week would have had snow in spring, you know? Mm. And the world as we know it is changing, all right? And sometimes it's through our ways of consumption that do not realize the importance of the environment. But at the same time, we come from a history where a lot of people have been historically not being involved in the processes, and they have the indigenous knowledge, Tepiso. And people, if you go back to time immemorial, the people have been always looking after nature in ways that people knew when it was going to rain. All right, and they knew what to do when it's going to rain and there's heavy rain that's come. And we've not harnessed in our conservation methods those kinds of indigenous knowledge practices and knowledge in the way that we do conservation and in the way that we also look at how to make people benefit from it.
I'm just
so it's bringing all.
Yes. Pam, sorry to interrupt you. Your role as Sandparks and how you're reimagining it. I'm just seeing a story on Newsroom Africa here about KwaZulu-Natal farmers who are obviously reeling from the impact of the snowstorm that you've mentioned, the inclement weather. And how do you then negotiate your space against your current business model, which you say you are reworking, to play a role in some of this, these sustainable livelihoods projects?
Yes. So I think part of it is about the impact and reversing the impact of our, business practices. And in the agriculture space specifically, they talk about regenerative agriculture, and they also look at smart ways of conducting agriculture. And it's smart in the sense that you are climate smart ways of doing of conducting agriculture. It's less pesticides. It's looking using more organic ways of growing a crop, But obviously, there will always be disasters. And how do we respond to it? Because once we know and understand our vulnerability, we're better able to prepare for those disasters when they happen.
And you're saying also, as Sam Parks, because you do have a very prominent research and development unit where you work with scientists. You've done scenario planning in this Vision 2040. So you're saying that even technological advancements are part of that. You're going to help by ensuring scientific integrity when you talk about conservation innovation in these partnerships.
And yes, indeed. We're talking about that, but also I just want to emphasize that point. And it's this is the one thing that I just find we also need to factor in, is that there's also science that communities have, all right? And how do you harness that in a way and work with our scientists? You know, an organization like SANBI, our sister organization, is doing work with traditional leaders, where they talk about how do we work with traditional leaders and scientists together and find ways of doing things together. So the science is important, as we understand it, the lab stuff and the research that's required, but it's also infusing another element of indigenous knowledge. And out of that, we have a better science in terms of predicting things, and also responding to things.
It's also very fascinating while I'm thinking about it as you speak. You talk about integrating knowledge systems. So again, to the point of greater inclusivity, where you will be working with traditional leaders and traditional healers. When looking at climate change, we are getting more and more alien species. Would this be part of your plan in your ecotourism, creating spaces where people who can come from overseas or even collaborate from overseas with our local practitioners to either, you know, identify this alien alien vegetation, what they do to the existing environment, or how it can be used? I know my mind's running away from me with me, but I'm just thinking of the endless possibilities here.
Yes, you know, there's endless possibilities. It's just how do we harness it? Because there's also that side of prevention, but there's also the side of innovation. How do we do it differently, all right? In a way that we look at people's expertise in terms of combating some of these things. You know, you make the point about bringing together the different knowledge systems. I'm a firm believer, and I think this is what we're trying to do in Vision 2040. We need to bring it together. So this process has taught us actually that there is value in consulting people, in including people, in hearing their views. And it's something that we haven't done at this scale to come to what we have now. And I think that is, for me, the future is bright. And now now is going to have to be the challenge. So how do we implement it? How do we take it forward?
Thank you so much for speaking to us. Much appreciated. Sam Parks is board chairperson, Pam Iyako, speaking to us about the unveiling of Sam Parks' Vision 2040, which was unveiled earlier on today.
Show us the money.
Kaya Biz.
On the street.
On the air.